I'm in the book of Revelation for just a few minutes. In Revelation, the 21st chapter. The book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus revealed. It is God revealing the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that which was and is to come. It's the almighty revelation. Revelation has to do with understanding. And we're taught in the Word of God to seek for understanding. The understanding God wants us to have is that understanding that's God-given, that helps us to be able to have our understanding opened and enlarged and even multiplied by God, because we get the kind of understanding God wants us all to have. There's much that can be added because God has a lot available that's in His understanding that we've never even scratched the surface of what's available to us. So anyhow, this is all about revelation. Some will hear this tonight. Some will see this tonight. Some will not see. Some will not hear. Some will get parts of this. But I'm just going to just be simple and say a few things here and let you find where you are in Revelation. Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And I'm going to stop right there, and you may be seated. And already there are thoughts. Everybody has thoughts. If you don't have thoughts, you're probably not human. Everybody has thoughts, right? And probably if we would line up here, hey, Sister Norman, God bless you tonight. If we would line up here and say, let's all express what we're getting out of this at this point, probably most of us would have a little different slant, a little different idea. Maybe some of us would have some understanding that perhaps I don't have, or maybe something that somebody else hasn't thought of, or maybe somebody would just absolutely not get it. May come across, you know, some ridiculous understanding that came from who knows where, that is completely carnal or something. I don't know. But I do know that I've heard many lessons taught out of the book of Revelation as if it is a book that is to be maybe interpreted for us by those who understand what it all means. And most of the things I've been taught out of this book, because of the fact that I have access to exactly what anybody has access here to. I don't settle for what somebody else has to tell me when I can look and see for myself what God is revealing. If you have ability to receive understanding from God, you don't have to be fooled by somebody's private interpretation. You may not fully understand things that are available to understand, but neither do you have to swallow somebody else's manipulation on some foundation they may have built with a lack of understanding, and then with their personality and perhaps pushing on others what they think that you should know like they know it. That's not necessary. We don't have to be fooled. We don't have to follow blindly and grope in the darkness trying to find exactly what God means when He says things. If you don't understand something, be thankful for what you do know. And don't fall for just anything that passes by. Always know you have access to God's wisdom. You have access to God's knowledge. No matter who's preaching, no matter who's pastoring, no matter who's evangelizing, no matter where you are in the kingdom of God, anything that comes over the pulpit, amen, should be a help to you to be able to find exactly what's being preached and taught for yourself. It should not be an idea that twists your mind and causes you to get in all kinds of stress and arguments and want to debate issues. You may be challenged. There may be some things that you don't quite see, and that can be good for you. The only way that it really can be beneficial to you is if the preacher preaches something and you don't understand it, keep a good spirit and study into it, because the God that you're serving is able to show you exactly the truth. And if the preacher was wrong, then God can use you to help him if you will do it in a good spirit. Because everybody needs this access to God, this ability to get proper understanding. And so there are so many levels of ways that we can look at things. In fact, when I was reading this, we need to keep always in our mind that this book of Revelation, amen, it's about Jesus, who is the beginning and the ending. And so Him being the beginning and the ending, and this being a revelation of from first to last, or from beginning to end, and knowing that God is not limited to our concepts of time and the frame of the 24-hour day and the limitations that come with all the different time zones. God is not limited to any years as we know years. He's not limited to days as we know days. A day can be as 1,000 years or 1,000 years as a day with God. God's time clock is non-existent, really. It's eternity. And time is something that God has provided that we can use because our lifetimes are limited. But in our lives, there are provisions made by God Almighty. And the lesson that's being taught all through Revelation is find your beginning and your ending. It's being taught through Revelation that the life that we lived on this earth was something that needed to be replaced by a new beginning, a new life, a new earth. The things that we enjoyed that meant so much to us, you hear people express, "My, I feel like I died and went to heaven when certain things happen that they want so badly." But the things that were so great in our lives before we found our true beginning that God wants us all to have, that heaven will pass away, or should pass away. Amen. Now, when the book of Revelation is telling us that heaven and earth, you know, the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, God didn't build heaven, a paradise, and then destroy it. That's not what He's saying. He is saying through Revelation, if you can receive it, that the old way needs to be replaced with a new way. And that which was needs something that is, that's better, that God provides. Hallelujah. The first way that we had, that which was first in our life, was not good enough. God wants to become the beginning. And that which we're all going toward, death and all these things that it's appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment, God wants to be our ending rather than that is provided for humanity. We're all headed to an ending somewhere. And Jesus is saying, I am the first. I am the last. And then He goes on revealing what can happen if you can make Jesus your first and your last. You are invited to come and drink of the waters of life freely if Jesus is to be your first and your last. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. So in all this reading here, some, like I said, are going to hear some things, and some are going to hear other things, and some are going to hear no things. Amen. I dreamed last night that I was speaking similar to the way I'm speaking right now, and everybody in the church was asleep but me. I look back and everybody's sound asleep. But that's not the case tonight. But in my dream, I was just going on and on and on and on. And the end of it, I said, well, Lord, looks like it's just you and me. Hallelujah. But this is beautiful when you start looking at what God has provided. Amen. The things I used to enjoy, the career that I thought I would have, the ambitions, the goals, they were very important to me at that time. How about you? Did you have some things in your heart that meant a lot? Goals? You set your thoughts on achieving certain things. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I got Jesus in my life, all of that changed somehow. It wasn't that it was completely taken away, as far as it wasn't that God said none of that was beneficial. It's just that when we put Jesus in our lives and made Him our first choice, He put everything else in its proper order. And as we make Him first in our lives with a new life, with a new beginning, all those other things that we may or may not need, God can sort it all out for us. And He blesses that which will be a blessing to us. Amen. Education that you may have received before you got the new life may not be in vain, but it may not all be necessary for the goal that God has placed in your life where He's taken you. And yet, it didn't hurt you as long as you put God first. It's something that happened. But now you're not depending on that education. You're depending on Jesus. And if you had some good things happen to you during those times, God knows about it. And He can use the vocabulary you may have developed. Amen. He can use that in order to influence others He has sent you to be a witness to. And if you can talk their language, God knows it. Amen. Because usually for us to be educated in this life, we get our education by going to schools and universities. And we get our education by being taught by the people of the world. And this all happens in the normal lifespan, even if we don't know God. But when God becomes first in our life, He doesn't destroy everything we've learned. He doesn't destroy all the experience we've had in learning. He doesn't destroy your degree hanging on the wall. He doesn't destroy your ability with mathematics and science and all the different things. He doesn't destroy your ability to be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer. But He becomes first in your life, and then all the things that are best for us are there that God can use and will use to help others. Praise God. There is a place for an illiterate person to be a witness for God. There are a lot of people that can't read or write. God knows that, but He wants that illiterate person rather than depending on or not depending on whether or not they can read or write. Just let Jesus become first in your life. Then He can take that which seemingly is a hindrance into your life, but He can use you because God has a place for everybody to be able to help somebody that they can relate to. An illiterate person can talk to an illiterate person and help that person. Where a real educated person may go out there and say words they don't understand. That might be just common words for the real educated person. But when they start talking to them, they're already over their head just in the first few words. They don't have any comprehension of what they're talking about. But God has a place for the mathematician. God has a place for the musician. But don't, you know, there's so many people that are getting popular. And they start out living for God and suddenly they get attention because God blesses them. And they start getting popular and the world starts liking what they see. Then contracts are offered to them. And the next thing you know, the first thing in their life is to try to get more popular. The thing that they want most of all and that would be, just be their heaven, you know, the thing that would be their reward is just to go after this popularity and all the things that go with it and to be a star and to get all the applause. And so many have gone that direction because they chose that way rather than let Jesus be first. But if Jesus is first in your life, He can use that same talent to bless a lot of people. And if that is to bring rewards financially or popularity because God has used you, all glory needs to go to God and all money earned needs to be used for God. And so there are a lot of people out there today frivolously earning and spending and doing things that should not be because they're not in the new life, new heaven, new earth, new beginning with a new ending to look forward to. See, when you've got God in your life, when you've got Jesus in your life, and Jesus is your first and your last, when He's your beginning and your ending, then looking forward to the grave is not such a bad thing. Because the grave is not the end. Jesus is the end. Thank you, Jesus. And knowing that old age is creeping up on you is not all that bad when you know that Jesus is the Ancient of Days and He never gets old and He is the first and the last and He's that which was, is, and is to come. And He's not any more gray-headed than He was when He started you out. And so old age is maybe something that some really dread. But if you can go into your lifespan here on earth, knowing where your beginning and your ending is, God has a place for elder people, for senior citizens. God has a need for people still to be able to say, hey, look, I know what it is to be 88 years old. I'm still alive and kicking, and I got a good thing that you need to know about. And there's going to be somebody around that's 88 or 89 years old that can listen to you that may not hear some of the young whippersnappers that come by with their loud music and their energetic ways. But they might be able to listen to you as you tap your little walking stick and with your little feeble voice say, you know, life has been really interesting, hasn't it? And y'all can talk a while, but the next thing you know, you might be used of God because He's first in your life. And Jesus is last in your life. And 88 years old is just a time to walk with Jesus some more in your life. Hallelujah. And to enjoy the benefits of the former things being passed away. There's no more sea. What John was saying to us through Revelation is, there's no more being out here on an island. There's no more being out here being cast away and having no fellowship. There's no more of this being way off here where there's nothing but torment and nothing but loneliness and nothing but torture and nothing to look forward to. There's no more sea. Amen. When you put Jesus first in your life, He has a way of bringing you back to the mainland. He has a way of keeping you involved in what's going on in the kingdom of God. He has a way of making all the crooked places straight and bringing back together the harmony that's all in God's love, in God's ability to bring about fellowship, harmony. It's all in His revelation. Hallelujah. And He says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers. He's just talking about the sinners in general here. Naming several things that are involved in that which is not in the kingdom of God. Said they all have their part in the lake that burns with fire. Now, you know, there are many ways to look at this, but if you can look at it with revelation, if you can look at it with your understanding open, don't close your mind and only see heaven and hell. Don't close your mind and only see someday heaven or someday hell, someday eternal glory or eternal judgment against you. There is an in-between. There is a time in-between. Your lifetime. Your lifespan. And right now you can either be tasting of heavenly things or you can be experiencing your part in a lake of fire. Let me run this by, if I can, in a way that maybe you can hear it. Anybody out there right now that's not putting Jesus first in your life, and your life is filled with misery, and your life is filled with things that you're just so unhappy about, and things are just going wrong, and there seems to be no end to it, and no way that it can let up, and everything is chaos and confusion, you don't know what to do, that is your part of the lake of fire now. And if you think that's terrible, wait till you see what's at the end of it. Thank you, Jesus. And that's where the fearful and the abominable and the unbelieving and all liars and all these other things have their part. Praise God. But he that overcometh. Everybody say, he that overcometh. Shall inherit all things. And I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. Yeah, it does. You know what? If you're a son of God, if you're a child of God, it probably, for most of us, hasn't really dawned on us how God operates with his kids. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be a child of God? Your Father in this new life, in this new existence, in this new heaven, in this new world, in this new relationship, in this new meaningful way to live, where the old has been replaced with something new. Your Father is God. Think about that. Not just a fairy tale. It's not just a make-believe book that you're reading here. Your Father is God. It's easy to say, I'm a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus. Can't let the troubles of this world, you know, get me down. But think about it. You're a child of God. That means your Father is God. Don't worry about whether or not you can let the things get you down. Just remember your Father is God.
Don't worry about things going wrong in your life. Yeah, it goes wrong and it concerns us and we hurt sometimes. But really, when your Father is God, there's no more pain. This isn't just about someday we're going to go to heaven and there'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more this, no more that. Yes, that's all true. But look, we got to deal with this now. I need to live in an arena where there is no more pain today, no matter how much I hurt. I need to know that beyond this suffering, there is something going on right now in my life that's so great, it's worth it to go through this, whatever it is I'm going through. It may hurt, but I'm telling you what, there's no more pain since Jesus is involved in this. My God has a hold of me. And what may seem like a pain, the pain was when I didn't have hope. The pain was when there was no end in sight. There was no way to get relief. The pain was when I hurt so bad, all I could depend on was my medicine cabinet. I might be able to take some medicine and get some relief now. I might take an Alka-Seltzer or a Bayer aspirin or something, whatever I need. But I'm not depending on that stuff anymore. I found a place where the former things have passed away. And that which used to hurt me so bad with no hope at the end of it and no help in sight and not knowing which way to go and all the advisors and all the doctors and all the people that knew the medical field, all the things they could do would not help me. When I found Jesus, the pain. Turned out to be an overcoming challenge, a testimony builder, something to go through as I put my trust in my God, who is my daddy, who knows all about it and has everything in control. And if it's His will for me to suffer a little bit, I give Him glory in all things, for this is the will of God concerning me. That takes away the pain because He knows where I am. He knows where I'm going. He knows where I'm coming from because there came a day when the former things passed away out of my life. And behold, all things became new. All things became new. No more pain. No more sea. Some of the finest testimonies I've heard in my life were from deathbed moments when a child of God, looking out from under an oxygen tent, saying those last words, and I've been there many times, when they would say things like, "Brother Rutledge, as far as I know, everything's all right. Thank you, Jesus. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And I'm not afraid to go on." They close their eyes. And I think about, that's not the end. The ending is something that we accepted when we accepted the beginning. It's all in the hands of Jesus. It's all in the hands of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I watched my cousins, Bob and Barbara, stand beside their mother's casket. Aunt Bonnie died in a car wreck as Uncle Joe was backing out of the driveway. Car came down the road, hit them in the side, killed her instantly. Bob Gilstrap and his sister stood by that casket. One had her head down, saying, "Oh, Mama. Oh, Mama. Oh, I'll never see Mama again." Because she had chosen to stay in the old way, to stay in the old world, to go through the misery where the pain and the suffering has no ending, no hope, nothing there except just temporary relief. But Bob had chosen another way. He chose to let Jesus be number one. Let Jesus be the first and the last in his life. And I stood and observed in that
moment at that casket, how one was so sorrowful. And the husband, even though sorrow was there, was able to raise hands and rejoice. Thank God for a wonderful mother. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all these years with my mom. And mom, I know I'll see you again. Thank you, Jesus. While the other one continued to say, oh, mama, I've lost my mama. I've lost my mama. Look, if you're serving God, and God is your refuge and strength, and God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus is your Savior, and He is your all in all, and He's your first and last, the beginning and the ending. And if your mama was doing the same thing, when she dies, you haven't lost your mama. You will see your mama again. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He that talked to me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, the wall thereof. The city lieth four square. Its length is as large as its breadth. He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are all equal. A lot of people read that and they got this all figured out and they know exactly how long the walls are, how high the walls are. They see this cube suspended in space, this beautiful several layers, floors and mansions, so many. They got it figured out how many mansions can be built, how big they will need to be for everybody to have an equal plot of ground. And if anybody tries to tell you that you need to listen to what they have to say about that, and that's what they're trying to teach you, go back to the Word of God and go back to your Holy Spirit. Let God reveal Himself to you. This city that lies four squares, praise God, it's much greater than anything you can imagine. And it doesn't just include someday we're going to heaven, but it includes our brothers and sisters who were in that upper room. Hallelujah. Who were in that upper room when there was a great sound that came from heaven, filled all the place where they were sitting. I'm going to tell you something. When that new Jerusalem that was formed on that day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, when that new Jerusalem of 120 people being filled with new life, with new hope, with new beginning, with new ending, with new heaven, with new earth, when those people came downstairs to meet the people on the outside out of that upper room and saying, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That was the city of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God to the inhabitants of this whole world. And you're part of that. You're part of the bride of Christ. You are this great city of the Lamb. I talk about these things. I say these things. And the carnal-minded interpreters of the Scripture attack me on the internet. And they call me names. And they try to put labels and say I'm part of this and part of that. One man put a picture of me on the internet and put a big old snake around me and said I had accepted Catholic heresies. This is not Catholic heresy, my friend. This is apostolic Holy Ghost revelations available for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth. If you want access to understanding, it's right here. You get in the Spirit of God that's available to all of us, and you won't be limited to going through this life saying Jesus is coming someday. Someday we'll get past this veil of tears. Someday the sorrow will end. Someday I'm going to heaven. Someday, someday. It's not all going to be someday. Now is going to be the accepted time. Right now is going to be the time you gather with the city of the New Jerusalem, with your brothers and sisters who are part of this city of the great King. This city of the great King. This city that comes together. We go to church and we worship our Heavenly Father. The King of the city meets us here. And He says, what is it that you want, my child? What do you want? You got some suffering going on in your life? I'm the end of your suffering. You got problems in your life? I'm the end of your problems. Hallelujah. And it's equal in height and depth and width for every human being. This city lies four square, all right, and you're not ever going to be able to explore how big it really is. And the mansion you're looking for is far greater than anything you've ever imagined. Eye hath not seen,
ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What's he saying here? That this is precious. The people of God are precious. God's holy city. Amen. That Abraham went out to seek for. Amen. Abraham, I'm going to show you a place. Go by faith. Go trust in God. I'll show you where I'm taking you as we go. Amen. And he showed him many things. He led him through faith, instructing him. Abraham, you're part of the plan of God. I'm going to multiply your seed as innumerable as the sand on the seashore, and as the stars in heaven are innumerable. You can't count the stars. Your descendants are going to be like that. Nobody's going to be able to figure out just how many people are the children of faith, the children of God, because of God's plan. God's plan. God's operation. Offer your son up, Abraham. What a moment that must have been. His only son at that time. His son of promise. His only son of promise at that time. Offer him up. But this was God's promise. Through this son of Abraham, through Isaac, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Offer him up. Put it in the hands of God, Abraham. Amen. What would have been a terrible tragedy, a terrible thing, if he thought he knew God and didn't really know God, or thought that he was having faith in God when it wasn't really the true God. What a terrible tragedy that would have been, that moment when they went up thinking he was serving God when it wasn't the true God. But he had some knowledge through some kind of revelation, some kind of linkage with God Almighty. He knew who he was. He knew where he was. And he knew that God was a God of his word. And whatever God instructed, it's going to be okay. No matter what it seems like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my answer. God is everything to me. So I'll do what he says. And whatever he wants to do with it, that's God's business. Hallelujah. He is my beginning. He is my ending. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. When he said, I'm taking you to a city. Let's just read about that in Hebrews quickly. Let's go to Hebrews. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, through believing in God, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And if you can receive it tonight, I want to say to you people here and those watching, we have found the city that Abraham was looking for. And the builder and the maker is God.
It wasn't natural Jerusalem.
Nor was it a second natural Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Jerusalem is where a lot of great things took place. But the natural Jerusalem is not the holy city. You might as well forget about it. If you're planning on going there and ruling and reigning on this earth for 1,000 years, you need to be doing a little ruling and reigning right now, and you need to get a hold of yourself. You got a God that sits there with you, and you sit on the throne with Jesus. You're invited to sit up on His throne right now and rule and reign with Him. And when your flesh wants to go wrong, you've got authority with Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus to cast out devils, to pray for the sick and see the sick recover. You got authority in the name and in the power of Almighty God to operate as His child on planet Earth with authority, ruling and reigning in this part of 1,000 years and 2,000 years. And if there's another 1,000 years, God always goes far beyond what He writes in His Word. No matter how long you live or your descendants live, if they're living for God, they'll be ruling and reigning with Him. Praise God. That's not Catholic heresy. That's not Catholic heresy. The heresy comes in the interpretations of the Word by a Baptist preacher in 1850, smoking his cigars and pipes and telling everybody what they have to believe about this stuff. I'm not going to buy it. I don't have to believe any Baptist preacher or Methodist preacher or any atheist. I can believe the Word of God at face value. When God says it, I can believe it. And I'm not buying into all of this stuff that says one of these days that 1,000 years is going to be here. And all, you know, one thing that really wakes me up and causes me to be aware of a whole bunch of people getting things wrong. Bunch of people getting things wrong. There's all this division on the pre-millennial, post-millennium, or post-tribulation, mid-tribulation. People of God fighting over these issues, calling each other hypocrites and pointing fingers at each other, accusing each other, and saying, you're going to hell if you believe that. I don't want to be part of that fighting crowd. I denounce every one of those categories and all those that are fighting in them. I don't believe any of the above. I believe my Jesus has come in the midst of the tribulation that's already in this world. In this world you have tribulation, and it is great tribulation. This doesn't deny the fact that Jesus is going to wrap it all up one of these days, take us home. But we don't need to live our whole lifetime looking forward to that time. We need to live our lifetime knowing right now that Jesus has come into my life. And it was in a time when I was going through great tribulation. And I'm not fighting my brothers and sisters over what they believe about it. I'm looking into the Word of God, and I'm finding my answer to be the King who sits upon His throne, high and mighty and lifted up. And I have power with Him. Hallelujah! I have power with Him. And I'm not worried about who the great whore is. But I got a whole lot of answers that keep coming my way through email and through teachings and through books that tell me it's this and it's that. And I don't believe any of them. Nobody has told me what I can see in the Word of God yet. I can see what it is exactly. I know who the harlot is. It's anybody that's ever known Jesus, walked with God, had a relationship with Him, being a part of the bride of Christ and walked out on Him and formed another relationship, trusting something else. God doesn't like it, and you're a whore if you've done that. But I want to be a part of the true bride of Christ, loving my husband. And when I walk down the aisle in this bride, white and clean, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, I don't want to be one that is backslidden and corrupt and going the wrong ways and doing the wrong things and trusting in the wrong doctrines. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The great whore is anybody that's whoring around on God. It's not the Catholic Church. It's not the Pope is not the man of sin or the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the man of sin, all that. Just look into the Word of God for yourself. Quit buying all this garbage. Thank you, Jesus. You were a man of sin before you knew God. You were a beast before you knew God. And you had the mark of the beast before you knew God. And if you can't get that mark removed, you're not going to be able to enjoy God throughout eternity. But if in your forehead there is something written, hallelujah, a name above all names. If upon your thighs, if upon your very being, there is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're riding with power with God everywhere you go, praise God. You don't have to worry about someday there's going to be a mark. Someday somebody's going to have to worry about this. Someday there's going to be some ruler rise up. He's going to be the Antichrist. Don't worry about any of that. The biggest Antichrist going on right now is the whole system of the whole world that doesn't believe in Christ. They don't want you to believe in Christ. This world is going to hell. This world is on a downhill slide. This world wants you to be marked for eternity, to be worldly, to be ungodly, to be a sinner. And if you want to carry that mark to eternity, you will not enjoy the blessings of God. And it may come a time in this life that you won't be able to buy or sell unless you take that mark. But if your name is written on the Lamb's book of life, don't worry about it. He knows how to handle the mark. And you're His child. He's your Father. And that's not anything for you to worry about. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a thing we've got going here. It's Catholic heresy preacher. That tries to be kind to everybody. I'm just as much against all the isms that are being taught as I am any of them. I get criticized because I let partial preterism doctrine people believe that believe in Jesus' name come into some of our forums. But I also let post, mid, and all the other kind of isms come in, and I'm kind to them too. Praise God. God didn't tell us to be mean to the people who have been baptized in Jesus' name. Because they might get hung up on some kind of ism. But He never told me to shut up because they might be putting pressure against me saying, you're part of that or you're part of this, or judging me or branding me to be something that I'm not. I tell you one thing, those that are branding and those that are challenging and those that are shooting darts and those that are trying to bring us down and those who are falsely accusing worldwide on the internet and trying to say we're all of the devil, I would rather be like we are than to be like you are. But I got some hope. I got some hope. I'm not on an island by myself. I'm not over here on some kind of little island where there's nothing but trouble and problems. There's no more sea here where I am. Praise God. There's no division. There are no walls. All the walls have been brought down. The only wall that's left here is a wall of jasper, a wall that is so precious, a wall of precious stone. Everywhere I look, I see Jesus on the right, Jesus on the left. And there's no way that any other kind of wall can keep Jesus from breaking through. Hallelujah. Hey, well, Pastor, you lost me. I don't really quite follow what all you're saying. That's okay. Thank you. But Revelation wasn't written in the book of God, in God's book, just to be a nice book, and for you to say, I've got it all figured out. It's written there so God can reveal the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And it tells us plainly in the beginning that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what he saw in the Spirit. So all these time prophecies about where we are in prophecy, about what's going on in the Middle East, about what's happening between the Arabs and the other people and all these other things, all of that is good for selling books to the people who love to read about that stuff. But if you can look into the Word of God, thank you, Jesus, there's something higher than what's going on in the Middle East. There's something greater than the history of the Jewish people. There's something that concerns you right now, right here, where you live. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun. Aren't we enjoying some good light here tonight? Yeah, I don't see no sun shining, but we're enjoying it. There's light here beyond these fluorescent bulbs. Hallelujah. This kind of light we're enjoying has no need of the sun. It created the sun. Thank you, Jesus. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus is the light. Everybody say, Jesus is the light. And the nations, everybody say, the nations. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. If you don't read any other part of this, read that part so you can get some knowledge from God through revelation. This isn't just talking about someday when we go to heaven. There won't be any nations in heaven. There won't be any nations in heaven. Praise God. We're talking about a city where there are nations that can come to this city. We are instructed to go into every nation and preach the gospel and to teach people baptism in Jesus' name. Repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. And God is letting us know through revelation, through the Word of God, that it is possible once you get the first and the last in your life, once you become part of this great city of the great King, once you are established in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another on this dark planet, once you get all this in order and Jesus is your light, the nations will flow to us. Hallelujah. For the glory of God, all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and the honor into it. So when I talked about, I believe God's going to give us all it takes to do everything we're hoping to do, I wasn't kidding. And I'm not depending on any programs or anything out there that I see, but I'm not turning my eyes away from everything that might look like an answer from God either. I'm waiting on God. And if God wants to use somebody or some program or something or some series of things, praise God. I'm walking in the light of God and I'm a child of God. And since He has said whatever you set your hand to do, it'll prosper. And when He has told us that we will walk in this light as He is in the light, the saved of the nations are going to start working with us. And the kings and all, I'm telling you, kings have more than $10 million. They're going to start working with us. It's not about the money. It's about the treasures of God that are given to the children of God. Thank you, Jesus. And so, no need for sun, no need for moon. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now the carnal mind will say, that means heaven, right? Well, yeah, heaven is included. Praise God. You ever read scriptures like, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath? What that is saying is very consistent with a lot of other scriptures. We are children of light. We are children of the day. We have entered into the day of the Lord. There is no nighttime with God.
When you're asleep on your pillow at night, you're still walking in the light of His love. You're still ruling and reigning with Him. All night long, it was all day with you. Thank you, Jesus. You're not on the other side of where God's light is shining. Our bodies have to have natural sleep. But once you're a child of God walking in His light, God never sleeps, God never slumbers, and your Holy Ghost doesn't go to sleep when your body rests all night, and your light doesn't stop shining. Thank you, Jesus. It's still daytime. There is no night in this place. Praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Other scriptures, and I won't go into them all, but the other one is the one about the highway. A hot highway shall be there and a way, and the fool shall not err therein. In other words, there's going to be a way that is established, a way to get on this road, a way to be part of this. And in order to get in as it is, you have to do it right. We have to be in the way, which it turns out that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. This is a narrow way. It's a narrow pathway, but it is wide enough, as somebody recently said, it is wide enough that everybody on it can breathe. It's not a way that's so strict and so rigid that nobody can walk it. It is a way that is so right and so perfect that anybody that really wants to know God can get on it, because God will put you there and keep you from falling back into the ways of the world. The straight and narrow is a way that goes right through this world. Thank you, Jesus. And nothing stops it. Nothing stops it. No matter how broad every other way may be, nothing can stop this. Thank you, Jesus. And He showed me a pure river of water of life. This is water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And you look at God dwelling with His people and dwelling in eternity, and you see as God sees here. You see Almighty God working with the prophets, working with Abraham, working with Moses, working with Adam, working with all these people we read about in the Bible. But there was one that stands out in the pages of the Bible above all, and that is what happened when Jesus Christ was born and lived and taught and was crucified and went away. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is the Lamb of God, and the pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we got in on that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this life that is in us is that very river of life that flows from God through our Savior. And through us, we are as a fountain of life for everybody around us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. But He was saying, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive rivers. In other words, there's a river of life in you. There's a river of life in you. There's a river of life in you. There are thousands of us that have the river of life in us. And this world needs this river to come flowing to them, because it's a river that flows from the throne of God and through the Lamb that we have received. We got something to quench the thirst, to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop the deaf ears, to provide life, new beginnings, new endings. And I'm closing. He showed me this pure river of life, clear as crystal. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, anybody should be able to see it if you really want to. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. All the teachings about Jesus, no matter what religion, if they're teaching you that Jesus Christ was born, He lived and He died, He rose again, amen. And that's pretty much the common denominator among all people who call themselves Christians, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus lived, He died, He rose again. I don't care what kind of denomination or what division or what else they may have right or wrong. If they're teaching that, there should be enough knowledge and just that much information to make anybody that has any kind of a drawing, which we all have, any kind of a drawing toward something greater, which is God, if you have that at all, knowing that a Savior died and rose again and ascended, amen, that knowledge is being taught all over this world by just about every religion, Christian religion, whether they're right about everything else or wrong. That's enough knowledge. If you can take that and believe on the Son of God, believe in the name of Jesus, believe in the power of God, and just start walking that direction, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching. God's going to lead you to the fountains of living waters, and you're going to find yourself living in truth. It's clear as crystal to those who want to live, who are thirsty, who really want it. There's a river of life provided, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. See, rivers don't have a street, but this one does. It's a highway of holiness. This river and this light and this street is all Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This tree of life, it's all Jesus. This jasper wall, it's all Jesus. I know that there's going to be something beyond anything we ever imagined possible. God has prepared a city. God has prepared a place. God has prepared an eternal dwelling way beyond anything we could imagine. And I'm going there, and my hopes are there someday. But I'm not just stuck in just a futuristic thinking process. I've got a hold of what's taking me there. I got a hold of what's taking me to the hills of glory. I'm finding hills of glory as I pass through this earth. I'm finding myself shouting on the hills, dancing on the tombstone, you might say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. We've already read, if you just put it all together, amen. It's talking about either the 12 apostles or it's talking about the 12 tribes. But wherever you fit in, it all ends up, you just got to have Jesus. You just got to have Jesus. Amen. And then he said, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Everybody say, behold, Jesus comes quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, seest thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. I don't have any private interpretation. I've heard a lot of people try to explain exactly how all this is supposed to be, and I haven't believed hardly anything I've heard or read. I don't have to, and I can say freely to you, I don't exactly know how to sort it all out, but it doesn't matter. I got enough information to keep me saved. But I'll tell you how it could be. John may not have been the only one on that island, because anybody that was trying to live for Jesus during those days was in trouble. I don't know where the angel come from, but I do know that in the Word of God, pastors are referred to as angels also. Ministers of God are referred to as angels also. Amen. Who knows but what the very angel we're talking about here was somebody that got there before he did, that had gone through all kinds of persecution and problem. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know because God's dwelling in eternity and He's revealing things little by little, here a little, there a little. All I know is it was an angel of the Lord, and whatever kind of angel it was, he sure had a good message for John. And John was in the Spirit when he was hearing these messages Praise God. And whatever this angel was, did say some things that make me kind of wonder just exactly who this one was. Because I'm of your fellow servants. That kind of takes away the teachings that I've heard. Praise God. Because for somebody to say what this angel said that was talking to John, see that you don't worship me, I am your fellow servant, and I'm of your brethren, the prophets, and I'm of them which keep the sayings of this book. Now, it could be an angel that's around the throne of God all the time, and it could be an angel that's been with the prophets all this time, but it also could be a lot of things. I'm not telling you that I think I know what it is, but I tell you a lot of stuff I've read I don't believe, because they didn't explain it according to the whole Word of God. So we just let revelation come. For now, let me be your angel to tell you that you're living in a new paradise with God when you know Jesus. And if you've been on an island and you hadn't been able to get this revelation in you, let me tell you, because I'm in the Spirit right now, and I've heard a voice from heaven saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, that which is, was, is to come, the Almighty. And I have a word for you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I'm of your fellow servants. I'm of your brethren. I'm here with the people of God around this world to tell you that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the fountain of living waters. Jesus is everything we need, and your God is your Heavenly Father. Let's stand and praise Him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, I become quickly. I'm coming quickly. And so people spend their whole life saying, He's coming soon, He's coming soon, He's coming soon. Quickly with the Lord is always soon. Amen. And some have overlooked the fact that He has come quickly for a lot of us already. See, on the day of Pentecost, that was a sudden happening. It happened quickly. Amen. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I've been seeking for God for a long time, but the night that it came quickly. I mean, just at that moment, when I surrendered just right, when I got my heart just right in tune with God, said, Lord, whatever you want, whatever it is you want me to do, I don't know what else to do. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And just started praising Him. Suddenly, it came quicker than the twinkling of an eye. Jesus is coming someday for all the skeptics who are going to hear about this message. And you're just looking for more ammunition. Just to add to your confusion, I believe in the second coming of Jesus. I believe that there's going to be a heaven that we're going to dwell in someday. And I believe that all this is going to happen someday after I'm dead. But the part that you're confused about is, I'm living in victory now. And you ain't taking it away. I don't care how many snakes you put on my face. I'm a snake handler. And I shake those snakes off in the fire. Amen. And the more you poke fun and garbage and try to say there's nothing to this. I mean, I got something in the mail the other day said that this scripture concerning the bright and the morning star, that's referring to the devil. That's what I got. There's a whole religious system, a very popular cult, I call it, but they're teaching that Satan. And it's not what they call Satan worship. This is a very popular religious system in the world today, teaching in their literature that when it refers to the bright and the morning star in the Bible, it's talking about Lucifer. Well, you can believe that stuff you want to, but I prefer revelation. I prefer looking at the Word of God and just letting my soul be open, my mind, my heart be open to God. And I read what Jesus said. He said, I've sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches.
in the churches. I have sent my angel to testify these things to you in the churches. All this I've been talking about, Jesus wants us to talk about all this stuff in the churches. That's why I'm talking about it tonight. Saying, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. That's not Lucifer. The bride and morning star, the root and offspring of David, the one that brought David into the world and came forth of the prophecy out of the lineage of David, the one that came here is my bride and morning star, and he is our everything. His name is Jesus. Satan can try to claim that all he wants to, but Jesus is the bride and the morning star. Hallelujah. Jesus is the bright and morning star. He is the day star. He is everything. Everything. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody out there, anybody, heard any part of anything I've said, maybe you tuned in late or maybe you just woke up late, but wherever you caught any of this, which usually they say only 10% or less, is really heard when we speak and teach. Well, if you got 10% of it and you can't figure out the other because it was just maybe noise and your brain was tired from all you've been going through, but maybe you heard just a little bit that kind of challenged your thinking or your understanding, don't try to slander me or hurt my reputation because I'm trying to do the will of God. Simply because you don't understand what's being said. If that's the way you want to be, that's your choice. But the reason I'm asking you not to is because in your efforts to hurt or destroy the reputation of a child of God, you're only hurting yourself. Because I'm in God's hands. And you can't fix that. You can't change that. And anything, anybody driven to do those things, whether it be on the internet, chat programs, or anywhere in the world, you're only going to cause my God to shine brighter in my life. And if that's what you want, you may choose your destiny, but there is a better way. Turn around. Put yourself in the light as He is in the light and become my brother and my sister. Because if you don't love me enough to fellowship with me, you won't make it. And I love all the people of God, regardless of what kind of pre, post, or mid you might be. Thank you, Jesus. I would never tell a child of God you're going to hell. Because you don't believe like I do about prophecy. But those that are doing those things today need to judge themselves rather than judging others. And you need to find yourself in an altar asking God to forgive you as you forgive others. Because you're not going to make it if you don't let brotherly love continue.